Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
The second lesson is from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. It's almost at the end, so it sounds kind of like a summary, but we'll get to the rest of it in a minute. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. May God add a blessing to the hearing and understanding of this holy word. Sometimes I get pretty frustrated reading what God has done and what God is going to do, because as I look around, I see that if it's done, if it's being done, there certainly is a level of completion that I don't see. There's a word, and it's proleptic. And the word means speaking as if something that hasn't yet happened has happened. And so that was one of my professors said, you just have to regard this as proleptic speech. I said, okay, fine, but how do we get there? And that remains a mystery to us, I think, as we look around. God does work and God does bring peace, but you know, I get frustrated, just like the zealots got frustrated with Jesus because they thought he was going to come in and upset the whole order of things and restore Israel to the proper people, and the people that thought John the Baptist was the one and he was going to go change things. And then John the Baptist got upset with Jesus. And there are some scholars that think that the reason that Jesus was actually turned in, that led to his crucifixion was because of him not fulfilling the needs that were seen for the people of Israel. And so there is this sense of stuff to happen. And, and I read all the emails from the UCC and from other denominations, the wonderful social programs and social ministries and the calls to action. And I say, yeah, I should be doing that. quite frankly, even before I had excuses, I didn't do a lot of that because I've mostly been focused on the church that I was serving. But we did do some things to try to change the environment around through the years. But again, that's frustrating to see all the needs that have been identified by our brothers and sisters in Christ and see all the things that they've got going on to try to rectify some of these. And yes, God will do it, but God does it through us. It'd be a lot neater and a lot easier if God came in by fiat and straightened stuff out, It just would go so much better. But I prayed about it, and I was told, no, that's not the way I work. So I have to honor that. But God does work eventually. I mean, God works through people. I think of South Africa, you know, the years of apartheid, and then actually the final movement that got that to change was called the Kairos movement. And Kairos is a good biblical term. And for those who aren't familiar, the Greeks had two words for time, chronos, which is clock time, and kairos, which means the right time, or as Jesus said many times, the fullness of time. So that took a long time. And quite frankly, you know, the government got changed and the laws got changed, but the way people live in a lot of cases is still the same. It's just like here with the civil rights movement. You know, Lincoln and that era, they freed the slaves. But there wasn't a lot of change for them. And then, you know, in the 60s, the heady 60s, there were some changes made. And still today, I read, you know, reports from people of color trying to live in cities and the South and the North. And the world that they experience is still not the world that was promised. You know, it's still not the God world that we hope for and that we aim for. Excuse me. And most recently, God, I think, is moving as women who have been taken advantage of by powerful men over the years have started to find a voice and speak up. That's God working, in my humble opinion. Should it have happened years ago? Yes. Should the men never have gotten into it in the first place? Yes. But something is happening. But it'll be a long time, because that's the way things like that go. So, with all of that big stuff in our minds, I want to talk about us. Paul's advice in Thessalonians is a good start for us. And any good start for us is a good start for the world. I'd like to kind of review it with you. Rejoice always. Has anybody ever been in a situation where you found it hard to rejoice? Yeah, me too. Rejoice always. But remember, rejoice isn't, necessarily. Rejoice is a feeling of joy in the heart. So even when, the example that comes to mind is a couple of months ago, I had a tumble outside of the 22 Waterbury Road Medical Center, and I fell into the bushes. That was not fun. Rejoice. Mm-mm. No. Pray without ceasing. Yes, God, please let me get up. Help me get up. Somebody said, did you tell them inside? I said, no, because they just sent me to the hospital. And I didn't want to go to the hospital. So there was an answer to prayer in that sense anyway. But pray without ceasing. There's a slim book written by a monk or a person who lived in a monastery. I'm not sure he was even a monk, called Brother Lawrence. And, you know, that's his idea. That's his deal. Just pray all the time. He'd be doing the dishes, cleaning up after everything, and he'd be praying. An attitude of the heart, not so much words of the mouth. Praying is an attitude of the heart. In some traditions, there's supposed to be a prayer for every action of the day. When you wake up, there's a prayer. And not, good Lord, morning. A serious prayer about the day that's to come. And when you get out of bed, and when you do your morning rituals, there are prayers for each of those. And again, that's beyond me, but praying without ceasing, again, is an attitude more than words. And give thanks in all circumstances. There's another toughie. But as I was thinking about it, almost any circumstance, if you put your mind to it, you can find something to be give thanks about. Isn't that true? I mean, even if you're in the ICU, you can give thanks that you are there and you're still there, and there are doctors and hopefully health insurance and things that will help you get through that. So give thanks in all circumstances. If your best friend disses you, you have to give thanks for the time you had together, and maybe a prayer for reconciliation. There's always a prayer. There's always a prayer that's appropriate, whatever's going on. And it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And that is to rejoice and pray and give thanks. Do not quench the spirit. A lot of times I think we see some need, or we see somebody that needs a hug or whatever, and the Spirit says, go do it. Go do it, right? And we say, oh, I'm sorry, I gotta be going. Like the Samaritan on the road, you know, the Spirit said, go help that guy. Well, the one guy had a diocesan meeting he was hurrying to, and the other one had whatever. You know, there are always reasons not to, but don't quench the Spirit. We pray all the time for the Spirit to be with the search committee. I hope you guys are not quenching, you know, because that's the petrol on which we run, is the movement of the Holy Spirit, and that is what will get us to our destination. Do not despise the words of prophets. That's not just those biblical prophets. Those are the prophets, the people who speak a prophetic word today. Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, you know, all kinds of people speak a prophetic word. A prophetic word being a word that comes from God and is passed along by a person. Do not despise them, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. In other words, there are false prophets. What is the test? Well, I'm going to do something that's bad. It's the love candle. The theologian Christer Stendahl, one of my chief professors, said, you never get to use the word love in a sermon unless it's in the scripture. But I'm going to vary from that, because the test is love. If you hear something that sounds prophetic, the test is, does it promote and extend love? Because that's the way of Christ. That's the way of God. And if it doesn't, you need to walk away, or better, resist. Resist. Abstain from every form of evil. Boy, even the fun ones? Nah, you know what it means. When we have opportunities in front, that's one of the things we pray to teach our young people, is that when you come to a crossroads, there's a way to decide. You have to decide which way to go and avoid evil and go with the Spirit. And then it says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. I looked up sanctify, not much of a dictionary preacher, but seemed to me to be good. Sanctify means set apart as, or declare something holy, consecrate it. Make legitimate or binding by religious sanction. Make free from sin or purify. So God is working to sanctify us, and down below it says he will do this. So what we have to do is keep ourselves open to help when we hit those crossroads, when we find those those turning points in our lives. And I guess, you know, it's hard for me to to think of myself as sanctified. How about you? That sounds kind of, ooh. But we are. We're set aside. In our baptism, we're set aside to serve God through Jesus Christ. And by coming into the covenant of the church, we agree to be part of that. And that sanctification as well. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's that Advent theme again. Be ready. We don't know when Christ will return. Some of us even doubt it sincerely that he will return, but the promise is that he will. And so we need to prepare ourselves, not just lighting candles, preparing ourselves inside. And finally, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. You never try to have to do any of this stuff alone. Amen. Because if you're left to our own devices, you know, I've sometimes pictured life, you know, as you're going, if nothing happens, we just go right in a straight line, inertia. But then the world kind of says, oh, this is okay. Why don't you try this? This looks good. This will make you feel good. And if there's nothing else, we'll go that way. But God is always there pulling the other way. This will be better for you. This will be better for those around you. This is the way I see the world working. And so we need to remember that God is always faithful, always with us in those times of decision, always faithful. And he will do this. God will do this. God will get us through. But we have to be open. We have to be open to it. We have to be open to God. The following verses I'm going to close with. Paul speaks more personally. Beloved, pray for us. Pray for him. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. Holy, remember. Greet all brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I solemnly command you by the Lord that this letter be read to all of them. In other words, Paul was serious about getting the word out. And that's why we still use his words today, I think, because we heard that. And we know that in the scripture is a way to life, a way to the life that God wants of us. And the final blessing, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.